Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
Our podcast, I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
We watched The Devil's Bath from 2024, directed by Severin Fiala and Veronica Franz, who are apparently an aunt and nephew team. They worked on a few things. They made the Lodge and Goodnight Mommy.
Oh, okay.
Which we've seen both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was weird because I was looking like, they don't look like they're, it doesn't seem like they're married or anything. Yeah. Like, what is the relationship? Aunt and nephew. Haven't really heard of that. It's a pretty cool team.
That's cool, yeah.
Sure.
I think I also just want to like preface that we're both coming off of being sick.
Sure.
So, I mean, I got it later. So
I think this will be okay once they're listening, but it's going to be a nightmare to edit this because we're just going to be clearing our throats and shit all the time. But this is an interesting movie. It's like a folk horror period piece kind of thing that really goes into like the pagan roots of Christianity, I think. And the thing I had heard about it that kind of sets it up is it actually seems to be based on like more historical accounts of people who basically wanted to commit suicide but didn't want to go to hell. So the way around it is you commit murder and then confess your sins and then you can still go to heaven.
Yeah, and that's suicide by proxy.
Yeah. After they execute you for the murder part.
Yeah.
Which is great.
That whole thing is going to be censored on TikTok.
I know. I don't know how we're going to get through that. But just a great concept, really shows you the moral pitfalls of religions like Christianity and the way they kind of tie themselves in knots to navigate these kind of things. Because I guess if it's a sin, I've never understood this. This goes into like, I'm not a religious expert, so I don't know like specific examples. You know, we were both raised religious.
Yes.
I was raised Catholic because I'm Italian, so that's just part of my blood, I guess. Had to go to Sunday school for a very long time and Saturday school for a while, which is also great.
Awesome.
I know you probably
weekend.
You had a whole life around church.
Yeah, I honestly don't like talking about it too much,
that's
but
fine.
You know, I was heavily involved in church for a while, but as I got older, started to see matching up.
That happens to a lot of us. Yeah. There was definitely a certain point where my mom was like, look, if you don't want to go to church, you don't have to. And it was like, before she finished the sentence, it was like, great, let me go back to my Super Nintendo. See you later. But I've always thought it was interesting how there's so many weird traditions and stuff that people will find ways around where it's like, oh, this one day of the year, you're not allowed to use electricity. However, if you take your dog's paw and use that to flip the switch, then it's okay and you can still go to heaven and you can still use electricity. It's like people find these workarounds where it's like you really think that the intent, like God is looking down like, technically they didn't do that. Same thing with this where it's like, yes, it's the greatest sin to commit suicide. But if you murder a child, then it's okay. As long as you are able to confess your sins, then everything's fine. Like, I'm sure God is like, I don't know. They did just murder a kid. Oh, but they confessed. Never mind. Come on in.
Yeah.
I don't think it works like that.
No.
Maybe. But what do I know?
I don't know.
Maybe it does. The movie centers on this character, Agnes, who is married in the beginning of the movie. And I think the movie really explores her failure to conform to like this new culture, because it's like this is like 18th century somewhere in Europe. Do you remember where this was?
I don't know exactly where this was. I think
we're American. Nothing exists outside of America.
I want to say somewhere in Germany, but okay. I'm not sure.
Sure. So yeah, she has to go to like a new village to live her new life with her husband. And yeah, it's a lot of her not being able to conform, her feeling very alone and isolated, dealing with depression and mental illness. And turns out in the 18th century, we weren't really equipped to deal with any of these things.
No.
So she has a very hard time with that. But she also has this very ingrained spirituality, which just makes it harder because I think she has all this burden on her to have a child, to have this perfect household and a family and all this stuff. And when she's not able to meet those expectations, it just further sends her into this depression. So a lot of the movie is, I mean, this is like a historical drama in a lot of ways, a folk horror. There's not a lot of like supernatural. There's really none. Like there's no supernatural stuff. It's not that kind of movie. Very dark, very depressing.
Yeah. It's very dark.
Yes.
I will just say, like, if you're struggling at all, you know, mentally, maybe, you know, just be aware that the whole theme is really mental illness and suicide. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah. But I thought it's an interesting exploration of all of those themes and everything. And I put off watching this a little because I heard about that element with suicide. If you're like one of those very atheist people who's like very anti-organized religion, I could see you getting really worked into a frenzy about a story like this, which I think the person who I heard the recommendation from is that kind of person. Okay. I was like, I don't know if I need this. Like, I think I'm okay. And yeah, I heard it was very bleak, very depressing, but it was a movie I've seen a lot of people talk about from 2024. So it was like, sure, let's get around to seeing this. But it's very good at what it's trying to do. And one of the notes I did write down is love seeing old shit and wondering what's normal. I think that's like one of my favorite subgenres of like period stuff like this.
No,
like,
I agree. Yes.
They do a lot of weird shit and you're just like, yeah, I guess that's normal. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what life was like back then. So you just kind of are along for the ride. And I think the more that a movie leans into being as like historically accurate as possible, the more that you get that kind of shit, you're just like, okay, like, I'm here for it, whatever. Because this is a society where when they execute someone, it's not just like you hang them from a pole or something. No. They get really fucking creative
and
with that shit.
They make fucking posters.
Yeah, like they commission an artist. I was wondering about that too, because they had to like draw that with ink and then like nail it to a tree and shit.
I actually, what's even crazier, and this is going off the rails, but it's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
I actually think they're lino cuts, which means not only did they have to draw it, they had to hand carve it so that they could stamp it, which is just like the...
I think I've done it like with linoleum.
Yeah, you can do it with linoleum.
I've done that.
Yeah.
When I was in school, like I remember that.
Lino cut, yeah. Or, you know, like the rubber stamps or, you know, things like that. Wood cut. Probably would have cut. But still, just the amount of effort that would go into a poster like that.
You cannot contain the artist inside of you. You just have to talk about that.
Well, I find it so interesting.
But yeah, this is... look, we've been going for a while. I mean, overall, I liked it. Like, it, for one of those kind of movies, it's like... It's hard to talk about what you like and recommend when it comes to a movie like this because it's like... I think it did a great job with everything it was doing. And it's like an interesting subject. It's not fun to watch.
No.
I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
No, I don't know if... I don't know. Yeah.
But it's thematically very interesting. And it does a great job with all the period stuff.
I think that's the one thing that really like elevates this film so much is that you can tell there was a lot of attention to detail and care and research into like... portraying a historically accurate environment.
Absolutely.
And it really comes through.
So yeah, with that, let's get into the spoilers because I think we're already kind of bleeding into it. So yeah, it's kind of weird how the way the movie delivers the themes around suicide, it feels like they're really at the heart of everything in the movie. And like I said, this is what I heard before I even saw it. And, I mean, we gave it away in the spoiler-free section because that is what it is.
Yeah.
But it felt like the movie doesn't really explain that stuff until the end. Because, you know, the movie opens with the lady just throwing a fucking baby off the waterfall with, like, no explanation.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it's like, yeah, she was, like, beheaded. And they, like, propped her up in a rocking chair and had her head in a cage. And there were, like, people coming up cutting their fingers off and using them as, like, little good luck charms and shit. It's like... I guess it was a while back then. Like, I definitely thought about how, I guess if you're living that kind of simple life in the woods, maybe this is like the shit that's like real exciting, you know? And maybe there is something to like, you're just kind of desensitized to some of this stuff, you know?
I think a lot of the religious stuff, I think, actually helps with a lot of that.
Yeah,
if you want to call it helping. I think it all seems a little bit more justified by what they're being told every Sunday.
It's weird how religion has that power. I guess I've never really understood it. But I guess if you are like that deep into that shit, it's like they can kind of tell you anything. And you're like, checks out. Got it. If that's what big man said, sure.
Yeah, it's scary.
But it's interesting, yeah, that it introduces everything in the movie with that. And then it's right into this wedding with these characters who you do not know mm-hmm. at all. I have no idea how they came together. Mm-hmm. And it especially doesn't make sense as the movie keeps going. It's like, was this like arranged or something, I guess?
Probably, yeah.
Did they even know each other?
Probably not, no. That's unfortunately how that all went. Women were property, literally.
Yeah, because I mean, kind of right away, Agnes, she seemed, and by the way, her husband's name is Wolf, mm-hmm. which I did think was pretty cool.
That even is though cool. I agree.
He's a fucking scummy ass dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, it throughout the whole movie, I think it really plays with certain expectations and how like she seems very committed to having kids and creating a household and all this stuff. And it's very quick when it's like that all starts crumbling down and it makes every other part of her life crumble with it, including her own mental health and everything.
Yeah, it's like right even on the wedding day, like it's already, yeah.
I guess putting that finger under her mattress wasn't enough to make things go well. And she had her like little bug collection and shit.
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny how she collected all these little knickknacks and stuff to help out. Mm-hmm. And there's a part where the dude's cleaning up and he just like sweeps it in his hand and throws it in the fire.
That made
like
me so mad. I was so mad at that. Like, what a dick. That's all her thing. Yeah, that's all she owns. It's everything she owned.
Yeah. And as someone who's
married. And it made
her
happy.
Yeah. I was going to say, as someone married to a crystal mommy myself, when I see like weird little rocks in the windowsills and shit, I just have to accept like, whatever, that's her shit. I'm not going to like scoop them up and like throw them outside. Can you imagine if I did that?
That would make me cry.
If you looked in the garden, there's like little quartz rocks and shit for me just going, eh. You gotta leave her bugs alone, all right?
That's right. Leave her bugs alone.
Look, we joke, but it is like, it's a very sad story because you do see like very quickly. It's like I said in the beginning, it seems like she is really struggling to conform to this new life, this new married life. And it starts making her very depressed when things don't seem to be going the way that she expected. And there is no support at all. It's like as she's struggling, her mother-in-law is just like hounding her about how fucking terrible she is. So, I mean, it's a very sad story. And even when they're finally like, all right, like, let's take her to the doctor. Let's get this checked out. The doctor sews like a strand of hair through the back of her neck. And it's just like, yeah, just tug on that every now and then so it gets infected. Like, Jesus, like, life sucked back then.
Yes.
Yeah, every time that they showed that, it was just like, no. Like, what were we thinking back then?
That is not helping.
Yeah, it's sad. And I mean, like, I'll say this, like, in the movie's favor. It does seem like it's a kind of simple story at its heart. It makes sense when I read that this was totally, it wasn't based on, like, a fictional story or even like a historical context. It was literally like a historical paper about this practice of like murder, suicide by proxy, you know, that kind of thing. And you can see how that inspired the entire story. Yeah. So much of it is just, it really relies on the kind of historical depiction of life back then and all the weird shit that comes with it. And it does a really good job with that because there's a way that this could have gone that would have been, that would have felt more drawn out. But all that stuff is like, it is very interesting, even if it's very like depressing. And like I said, a lot of it's just like, okay, like I don't know anything about this era in history. Like I'm along for the ride, sure. Yeah. Can you imagine living during all
No, not at all. No.
No, you wouldn't like to go fishing in this mud muck shit with nets, and that's how you spend your days.
Yeah, with my secretly gay husband.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with that.
I know exactly what was going on with that. On the wedding night, he's like looking at his friend, telling him how handsome he is, and
I thought
like,
they were just bros.
I look, yes, I also clocked that too. I was like, okay, maybe they're just very kind. I think they were in love with each other, and I think on the wedding night, which I don't want to get into graphic detail, but I mean, it seemed like he had zero interest.
I thought he just drank a lot, but
every night.
I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, and that
there
definitely
was something to that.
Yeah, no, I think that is kind of like a cornerstone of the story, because here's this woman. I mean,
it went over my head, but actually makes sense that like that would add to the themes of, you know, being kind of constrained by life under Christianity back then.
They're all most likely being told that being gay is a sin.
Yeah.
So he feels like obviously God won't let him marry his best friend. So he tries to live, you know, a more conformed life with a wife and supposedly supposed to have a baby. But I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how that's supposed to work out.
Well, he just like was not interested at all. And it's because, you know, and the fact that neither of them can achieve what they want to achieve. They have this horrible toxic marriage.
Yeah. And it's interesting how the kind of backbone of the story, the way it's weaved through everything where, you know, early on, Agnes finds the body of the woman who was executed. And it's weird. She almost seems to find this kind of peace around her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like this escape for her.
Yeah.
As horrific as it is. And then later, Wolf's best friend, who he may have been in love with, commits suicide. And there's a big deal made out of how they can't bury him. And he's not going to be welcomed into the kingdom of God or whatever because he committed suicide. And this all kind of leads up to her getting to a point where she just can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it's pretty horrific. I mean, she like, well, first she tries to kill herself by drinking rat poison.
Yeah.
Which was pretty terrible.
Yes.
Like watching that.
Yeah. And that also
unfold.
Did happen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's horrifying how she like calls for him to bring a priest. And when he doesn't bring a priest back because he's just fucking useless, she panics because it's that realization of like, oh, if I die like this, then I'm not going to be welcomed into heaven. Like all this shit, the way that we, I'm not going to get into some like anti-religious tirade because I don't really care about that stuff. Like if you are a very religious person, it's fine. Live your life however you want. I feel that way about everything. It's like
it's your business, not my business.
Yes, as long as you're not hurting anyone else.
Exactly.
I don't care what you do with your life.
Exactly.
But it does feel like, man, the constraints that people put on their ability to live their life and find happiness and stuff, it's just a little strange. At a certain point, maybe you have to take a step back and think like, is this helping me to
is
be
this,
happy?
Yes. Am I the happiest I can be right now? Because
Yeah, maybe not if you are driven to, like, slitting a child's throat.
Yeah.
Just so that you can, like, end it all. And it feels kind of selfish in a way, too, you know?
Well, I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is, like, there's a lot to unpack here if you were inclined to do that, which I'm not. That's not what we do here. But, yes. There are a lot of very interesting themes around all of that stuff. And I think you kind of have to be here for that if you're going to enjoy this movie. Because it can be, there's, I guess, a way of looking at this movie. It can be kind of slow. There's not a whole lot happening. Like I said, there's not, like, anything supernatural or anything. So you got to be here for the period stuff and the religious themes and commentary, which I was. I thought it was all super interesting, but I don't know if it's for everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I did think it was funny at the end when, she chooses to do what she does by killing a child. And why the fuck is it always a child? Like, what are we doing?
I don't know there. I'm not, I guess because it's so heinous, maybe?
I guess. And she mentioned how, like, he was never going to know sin because he was being killed as a child. Maybe they really do think that's the better way. I don't fucking know.
I mean, there is something to say about that too, because it's like the whole baptism argument, all that stuff. It, like,
But I did think it's interesting. I guess it goes back to what I said earlier about how, like, shit just had to be so boring back then, because it's not as simple as just, like, it's not a simple execution. It's like they get creative with shit. Yeah. Like the way they, like, sewed her into an animal skin and were dragging.
It's
like
crazy.
There's way too much effort going into this. And when they had her sitting in a chair and the guy's holding the sword, I was like, oh, and we're going to do a beheading where she is sitting upright. Like,
yeah.
They got real wild back then.
Yeah, that's crazy. There's like a splash zone there.
Yeah. They were fucking here for it though. Because that was the other thing is, again, it really goes into like all the pagan influence here, because after she gets beheaded, everyone, it just turns into a party instantly. Like the whole tone changes. They're playing music and shit. And everyone rushes up with like cups and bowls so they can take her blood.
And they're drinking it.
Yes, that's what they're doing with
it's just crazy, though. Like,
But it does, it paints an interesting picture, because nowadays, people who are, like, for all intents and purposes, worshiping the same gods and the same religion would look back at that as being, like, devilry and witchcraft. And it's like, no, these are the roots of this religion, you know? It is nice we move past that stuff, though. Because you,
I
could
mean,
you imagine,
I'm
Jesus? But like, could you imagine as much of a chokehold as Christianity has on this nation if they were still adhering to those beliefs and treating it like it was normal? Those traditions.
No.
Yeah, glad we don't live in that world. But it's interesting, and it also it helps to explain how they were like cutting the fingers off the other woman and taking them. They seem to.
I think it's like trying to be treated as like a sacrifice, kind of.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So they're like taking part of the sacrifice, I think.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to logicalize.
Logicalize it? Yes. Yeah. I think, I mean, we knew the end was coming. We knew that that's where this was all going to lead. It kind of had to, but it's a good movie. It's an interesting kind of folk horror period piece that explores some interesting ideas. I liked it. I don't know if it was like one of my favorites from 2024, but I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. I liked it and glad I saw it. I'm not going to want to watch it again.
Nope.
But I think it was a very good piece. Like, it's a very good piece of work.
Yes. Also wrote down Burden of Sin, and I don't think I said that. You could figure that out. That's all I got. You got anything else?
No, but I think the Burden of Sin is kind of very apparent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can go to GhostBeast.com for all our links. You can also search for GhostBeast Pod, and you can follow GhostBeast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. Got a good spot.
Okay.
Above Late Night with the Devil, but below The First Omen.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right. That's number 43 on our list. You can also follow us on TikTok for bite-sized versions of these episodes. And you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. What are your favorite folk horror movies? Bye.
What? That was a good question.